Hi everyone. This presentation is about a computer vision extraction pattern at scale with Robocet Pink as computer vision ecosystem. So the main goal is the ability to detect inconsistency or consistency between two data sets. So in our case, we'll use Robocet Pink as a framework to be able to extract pattern and feature from imagery, and then to compare if we have to another data set, who could be either the original label or one another. And so to put in evidence change detection or data set quality analysis if there is some reliable data to compare or not. So how does it work? It's about the deep learning stuff, so it's supervised learning. So we have a neural network model. We have an input imagery and labels. And so as we train the neural network with a dedicated loss function, we're able to get a trained model. And once we've trained a model to extract this kind of pattern, we can just with new imagery put in input this new imagery to the trained model and get new prediction. That's the whole stuff. So the main important stuff is labels. They must be accurate enough and loss function to be dedicated to what kind of pattern we want to extract for. And once we get the prediction, we can compare to something else. And that's the stuff. So in Robocet Pink, what kind of input can we play with? We can play with any kind of raster able to be read by GDAL. It can be raster file or coverage raster, or it can came from web services. So it could be a WMS or on XYZ web services. So any kind of input like that can be used. And as vector, you can use either GeoVision, PostGIS, or PBF. It's a kind of format file well used with OSM output. So since you use this kind of input either for imagery or for vector, you are able to do what? To train and to predict new mask. And since you predict mask, you can thereafter compare them to another data set as mask, so as raster, or extract your mask to vector, and either to specify where there is enough differences between the two to make it easier for a human to directly go to the right point. So that's the theoretical. We'll see in a quick we'll see demonstration. Just before the demonstration, a thing to keep in mind that about the color, the pink was configured to be the predicted by the model. So each time you see pink, it's produced by the model. Each time it's green, so it came from the label. And each time it's gray, it means that both are gray, because pink and green, it make gray. So it's an easy way to be able to check the detection of check the differences in a single time. And the square pink here is the ability to focus on the area where there is enough differences. So it's a time saver for human because it can zoom out, zoom in directly on the place where you need. A few information more. It's a command line interface stuff with so many tools who are dedicated to only few things. So it's really like a GDAL. So it can be really used like a GDAL companion. So you have a little command tool, and you can add extra one dedicated to deep learning stuff. Okay? And so here we can see that in this tutorial, Robocet Pink 101, it was the one who was put in was done with a workshop in Tuesday. And in this tutorial, we use Tanzania open data set, and we so it's not my computer. and it's not my operating system. So the point here is to show you that you can retrieve all the TIFF related to the imagery, and you can easily tile them and display them to see that everything is smooth. So each time you launch a command, it creates a way to display it either with leaflets or with other JavaScript stuff. So it's an easy way to check at each step that everything is smooth and you do it well. So once you tile your imagery, you will do the same with the labels. So you retrieve the labels, it's a GeoJSON. You will import them in PostGIS. You can launch some spatial query to retrieve them as a label, and you can create so your label from the GeoJSON, and you display them. And you will continue there to create your dataset only with command line, and launch the training and create the prediction. And so at the end, you will be able to retrieve a new imagery, the one from a new area, tile them again, and retrieve OpenStreetMap data from this new area, because at this point you have no labels, and predict from your trainer model. And so in pink here, it's all the places where there is a building footprint detected by the model. So the point here is the ability of it to put them to compare them. So if here I zoom out, there is all these places where there is enough differences between the two data sets. And here, if I'm able to zoom in, yeah. Okay, so all these places, they are spot as there is something, there are significant differences between the two data sets. And you see that everything here is plain pink. So it means that these buildings are not in OpenStreetMap, but was detected as buildings by the model. So it could be an easy way for someone who has to complete a data set to easily check where there is something to look at and where there is places where it already seems to be either with no buildings or either complete. So it's a tool who can be helpful to save time. So this whole workshop took something like 1.5 hours. So if you have only one GPU and not a big one, all the stuff, the download, the tile, the prediction, and so on, it's 1.5 hours. So it's really something you can use daily because it's already efficient enough to be used. It's easy to deploy. It's just a pip tree install. That's it. And if you have the NVIDIA driver to install, there is two more lines to install the NVIDIA driver. That's it. So all you need is imagery, one GPU at least, and labels. So imagery, already said that anything readable by GDAL, and about the GPU, it's at least 8 giga RAM, and about the label, that's the point. That's the point, but because there is so few places where you can find labels with enough accuracy to train your model. So, what can we do? We can take plain open data and perform a two-step training. The first step, it's also online, so you can use it also. The two-step training is simple. Here in this example, we just create a cover about the Lyon city area, and we retrieve through WMS all the imagery from Lyon. It's a city in France. Once we've done that, we then rasterize their label. They came also from Open Data, from a WFS. And then we launch the training. We launch a quick training, only 10 epochs. Once we've done that, we can then compare them and extract only the ones where there is significant differences. And once we've done that, we have a tool, a compare in mode side, and if we click on this one, on the spot, we have directly as a result of the command, this kind of interface in JavaScript, and it is something who can show us the imagery and the compare. It's only 10 epochs, so it's still something noisy, but it helps us to see if it's noisy because of the model or because of the labels. And we can easily pass from one to one, and on this case, because it's pink, it's because of the missing the labels. So we can select it to remove it from the training dataset. And easily, we can pass from one to another, keep, remove. No, so we keep because it's about the model. We remove, and so on, and so on. So it's an easy way to keep or remove your tiles from your data set to have something at the end with accuracy labels inside at low cost, because there is no one who have to draw something at pixel level. You just have to choose if it's a good one, yes or no. So it's really a quicker way to be able to have something both open data and both accurate. It's something we use about Robloset Pink, a cutting edge computer vision solution. And for instance, we use a low batch loss. We provide an ability to have something really clear, so there is a lot of less of noise between other solutions. And it's dedicated to surfaces extraction. So anything with a surface will be extracted by the loss function, but not a linear stuff. There is a data augmentation inside, and a good one. And more than application, it's a framework. So if you want, for instance, a new loss or a new model, it's easy. You just have to open the directory, this kind of directory, put your file, and just call it from the configuration file. So it's a really an easy way to add new feature on this framework. What about the stack? Robloset Pink use a well-known stack related to GIS stuff, this kind of tool, also to computer vision, and also to deep learning. So this is a mix between what we already do well in GIS, what is existing well in computer vision, and the latest advanced in deep learning. The only point here to show is this one too are not open source. And a day it will cost. But Robloset Pink itself is open source. It's an MIT license, so you can do whatever you want with, almost. As it's open source as a software, the model, the business model, is based on specific development. So there is a request for funding. There is three kind of new feature we can add it. We can increase, again, prediction accuracy, especially on low-resolution imagery, or even if you have very few labels, or if you want to extract feature, even if they are really close. We can also add support to Palm Cloud in the model, or if imagery time series. And we can also improve, again, performances, even if right now it's quite fast. So provide some metrics about the performances, here it's in megapixel per second. From the slower to the quicker. So the slower, it's not a surprise, is a train, because it's per epoch. And you will need at least few epochs before to have a trained model efficient enough to do something. Even if in the example I just provided before, even with really few epochs, we can already converge to something interesting to show differences between two data sets. The tiling can still be improved, and the other one are still okay. What does it mean? That means that with only one GPU, you can already play with this kind of solution and use it for real, even with quite a large area. But if you want to scale it again, what does it mean? If you want to increase again the train speed, it could imply only to add more GPU, and natively it handle multi-GPU solution. It could be related to reduce your data set by choosing only the significant tile inside and not the whole one. So some kind of cherry picking data set approach. And obviously you can improve model loss or optimizer to converge quickly. About the tiling, right now you can add more CPU because it's the scale it's related to the number of core you have, or use some kind of to reduce the latency, for instance with NVMe. And about the predict, right now the prediction is done is performed by PyTorch, but you can export it right now to ONNX or to JIT, and so have the ability to use something else to perform the inference. And so since you do that, you can choose your own solution and, for instance, switch to C++ to be able to have something really able to do it even quicker. Why performance matters? Firstly, because it's more playful and more easy for human to learn if they have quicker cycles. It's a time and money saver, it's obvious. But it's also that there is no planet B. So if you reduce drastically the time related to the server consumption, it helps for the carbon neutral stuff. And also it's a phosphogic community issue, because if we are not able to perform this kind of solution for at scale for continent, for instance, or for the whole world, we are dependent of big actors who are in the who have big cloud infrastructure and who could do that. So we have a need to have something workable even on a really large area with low architecture to be still in the race and to be still able to keep phosphogy community itself. Right now, there is several solutions to perform this kind of stuff. There is RasterVision, EOLearn, Solaris, Robosat Pink, there is more. So the point is, do we all need to have this kind of diversity? Right now, it was a need, because each of these teams needed to have his own competence and to his own skills, and to be sure that they understand very well what they are doing. But the question now is, could we share a common framework? And also about the open data set, if we are looking about the other community, for instance in NLP or something like that, they are structured themselves because they have open data set with label good enough to be used as is, and there is no needing to change or to rule about the data, and with a common metric evaluation and kept on place. So even 1 year or 2 years after, you can relaunch a kind of evaluation and say, okay, my new model improve what has been designed before by 2 sigma, for instance. And you can have a very quick way to evaluate progress only by saying that 2 sigma on this metric and on this dataset point. So it's a really good way to be able to choose between several approaches. And on this topic, there is a bird of feather today. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions? Oh, many.
Hey, is there a way in Robosat Pink to quantitatively evaluate performance, like evaluation metrics, you know, building IOU or anything like that?
Yeah, there is indeed metrics. So here, there is a directory called metrics, and by right now, it's there is a IOU and MCC.
For like pixel-wise metrics, or
yep.
The
pixel-wise metrics per tile, in fact, yes.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Just a quick one. I'm not sure if you mentioned the programming languages you use to code Robosat Pink.
Robosat Pink itself is mainly code in Python with a few JavaScript code related to Leaflet and so on. But obviously, at a point when you need performances, this kind of tool are C or C++. So it's really at this level, it became Python. But each time there is a need of performance, there is, obviously, C and C++. Yeah.
Thanks.
Quick question. In terms of network architecture that you are using that are already available and integrated?
Sorry.
In terms of network architecture?
Yeah. This one is a unit kind with a ResNet 50 as an encoder and with some dedicated parameters for the stride. So something like that, and the ability to deal with multi-channel inputs.
And it is possible to extend also the network in terms of the
models? By design, everything is, you can replace everything. So
if
you need another model, up to you, yeah. And it's documented.
Just a comment, regarding the e-learn and connection with other tools. So e-learn doesn't aim to do the same thing as Robosat Pink is doing. So we would like to see these two tools used together. And e-learn is just there to kind of prepare the data set in order then it's just plug and play also for Solaris or Robosat Pink and so on. So it's just to build a stack.
A question about how to share best practices about deep learning between these frameworks. What's the best way for different teams to develop, shared documentation about best practice around training models? So things like mixed precision training, other things where each team maybe has these ideas to themselves, but there could be benefits from sharing that knowledge.
At this time, yes, I understand your question. I provide a kind of training solution. So there is a customer who came and want to be able to do that by themselves, and it's training. Yeah. Is it your answer to your question, or?
I guess, yeah, on this slide, right, there is sharing a common framework and open data sets.
Yeah.
But in terms of lists of techniques or choices between different techniques that are best practices for deep learning in this space, how do you envision this knowledge can be documented other than in-person meetings?
I'm not sure to really understand the question, but I will try an answer and you will say. Here the point is the ability, when there is a lot of papers, to immediately know if there is an interest to read the rest of the paper because there is enough improvement, for instance, on the model, for instance, on the loss, and so on and so on. So the point here is to have a way to easily can have an idea that if there is something improved, yes or no, when everyone try to make it better than the other. That's the point.
That makes sense. Yeah, maybe like a shared list of new papers, some kind of reading group between different teams so people can stay up to date.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
We only had 5 minutes, So thank you for your questions, and now we have 5 minutes for changing rooms. So it's your chance to escape.
Thanks.
Thanks.